from the Twin Towers of Guys, Games, and Beer on the fashionable lakefront of Racine, Wisconsin. Well, the basement, anyway. It's Guys, Games, and Beer! Hell yes.
Hell yeah. All right.
And since I totally forgot to set up the screen, we're going to wait a second. And yes, it's about time for Beer Court!
Dun-dun-dun!
Beer Court. Well.
Alright, so Larry, you got a treat for us tonight on Beer Court.
Alright, well.
I'm a little afraid too.
Alright, well. Okay, so. Welcome to part two of What's Old Is New Again. So, last week we had a beer that was discovered, you know, and had gone out of business as the recipe was discovered, and they started brewing it again. Well, today we have Malt Duck, which was popular in the 60s and 70s, even up into the 80s when, you know, by the 90s it was gone. So no longer, no longer in there. Well, and as an effort, Sprucker Brewery, as an effort to find something between beer and the hard sodas, something that's not so sweet, they revived this brand. And it is supposed to be, it says it's a premium beer.
Right, it's not a malt liquor.
Concord grape. It's not a malt liquor.
It says malt.
Yeah.
Well, it says malt.
I know, this is the confusing part. This is the confusing part to me. Okay, so when he brought this up to me originally, I thought, okay, it's a malt flavored,
like a cold drink. Like a flavored cold 40 or a
right, exactly, or any of those. But no, they specifically say this is a beer. It nowhere says it's a malt liquor, but it's called Malt Duck, and that is confusing as heck.
Yeah, well, I think the original might have been a malt beverage, and Sprucker's maybe just wanted to go a little bit different with it.
Okay, so they revised the recipe as a beer instead of a malt liquor.
That's what I'm thinking.
Well, that would make sense, because otherwise, why would you call it Malt Duck?
Yeah, well, it was a branding.
I'm still saying. So, but the odd part is Sprecher picked this recipe up.
Sprecher? Okay, to be fair, like, they do some weird stuff. And again, they do beers and they do sodas. So it's like...
Yeah, they do the hard sodas.
Yeah, and again, this is totally like a wheelhouse for them. Like, I mean, Sprecher as a Milwaukee brewery is lower on my list of Milwaukee breweries. But they do damn good soda.
They do.
They know how to do a premium soda.
But my problem, their regular soda, not their hard soda. Their hard soda, all hard sodas are too sweet.
So this is a contemporary version of Malt Duck, which is
They have
has been crafted out of a blend of premium beer and Concord grapes. It tastes both beer and wine, the company says. So
okay, so all right, well, that explains a lot then. So it's a twist.
Starts sweet and ends dry.
All right, well,
so this is supposed to be like a French.
I gotta say, guys,
style.
I'm not thrilled with the smell.
No,
right
all
right.
Yeah, it's a little
off putting on that smell.
That's okay. It's much more like
too
a
sweet to me.
It's like a malt
still
liquor.
Pretty sweet, but
oh my god, this is like beer for children. Kid beer. the whitest kids you know skit called Kid Beer. This is what Kid Beer would taste like.
It tastes like it is a little less sweet than a hard soda,
but it's
still quite a bit more sweet than a beer normally is.
So if you remember a wine called MD 2020, a.k.a. Mad Dog 2020. Yeah. This is Mad Dog 2020.
A little more carbonated.
With carbonation.
Carbonation.
This is weird.
Is that why it reminds me of throwing up?
This is weird.
Yeah. No, it is weird, actually. I'm with you on that one.
I wouldn't drink it as a beer.
No, I wouldn't either. And this is more like a soda.
Yeah.
It is more like a soda.
What's the percentage of this?
5.9.
You're going to get screwed on this. Great. okay, the only
it
thing
is bad dog.
Yeah, you can get decently trashed on this. I do worry about the gut rot factor on top of
it. Wait, get rid of the malt duck. Or the MD.
MD. Malt duck. It is MD 2020. They just carbonated it.
Oh my god.
I don't know about this.
As a beer, I would say no.
Yeah,
as an alcoholic beverage in general, I'm saying right. It's okay.
I agree with Travis. The gut rot factor on this.
Not only is it going to get a little drunk, and you might have to deal with a hangover, but you also are going to get gut rot. I love drinking ciders, but my biggest problem with ciders is after 3 or 4 of those bad boys, your stomach's like, oh, why'd you do this to me?
Yeah, and this is gonna have that factor. No question about that.
But as somebody who doesn't like drinking beer and they want something a little sweeter, this is different. It's not bad. It's not bad in any way, shape, or form. I just don't know if as a thing...
I kind of like it.
Yeah.
And here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking 90-degree day.
Yeah, hot summer day.
But marketed to those college kids.
Or a college party. My thing is, you are this stuff. You're going to pay for drinking this stuff.
Sure, it's weird. They were bold. For Sprecher, I'm gonna say, good job. That's it's weird, but I'll go with it.
Okay,
I'll go with average.
I'm gonna go with average.
It's not a good beer in any way, shape, or form.
I would not drink this like a beer at all.
No, they should just take off the premium beer.
I would take off the premium beer, but I kind of like it. Okay, all right. Well, this is not quite a split decision on this one. All right. Judge Rob?
I count one of providing alcohol to a minor, I find you guilty. I count two of impersonating Mad Dog 2020, I also find you guilty.
Yes.
That said, I'm going to let you go with time served, as you can get somebody pretty screwed up pretty fast, and I think that there's something to be said for that kind of community service. So you're let off with a slap on the wrist.
Yeah. All right.
Oops. You're Enrond.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay, so Rob, what's the real show tonight?
Oh my, well, we got a guest today. I'm with
Jonathan from Hexplore It. How's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, good to have you on.
Thanks for letting me be on. This is awesome. Sounds like you guys are drinking some elven wine or some elven beer or something.
You know, that would be a good title for this one. Call it an elven beer.
Yeah.
So we actually met you guys at Game Hole this year.
Yeah,
and got a chance to check out your new product, which is now on Kickstarter.
Yeah, just came out yesterday, and
is nailing it.
And is nailing it. And so we again really happy to have you back on the show. Talk a little bit more about the game, as well as kind of getting a little more details for people who might not know what Hexplore It's about. Would you kind of like to give us a little overview about what the game is about?
Yeah, definitely. Hexplore It is a fantasy-based adventure game. It's kind of like running a D&D campaign without having any kind of, anybody behind the wheel, so to speak. The players all act cooperatively, and your whole job is to get as powerful as you can to take out the Dead King, who's kind of a crappy guy, you know? It's like, why are you doing this, man? So, he's the worst boss of the game. You can do all sorts of things with this. It's kind of more of a sandbox in that you're not going to really get through everything in the game when you play it, at least in the first time that you go through it. So, players basically get to select a role in a race and combine those two together to create their character. And,
again, we talked a little bit about it before in our last interview at Game Hole Con. Highly recommend you check it out if you haven't seen it. Kind of go over some of the basics. But again, like he touched on, you cannot underestimate the fight where he says this is a sandbox kind of game. Like, the amount of races and roles, how the map develops, things to explore or do is incredible. It was one of the things that really hooked me on this game right from the beginning after I kind of saw and was able to try it. There are, like you say, I think there's like 20 to 30 roles.
Yeah, so the game starts out with 6 roles and 6 races, but I'm happy to say we actually have pledge goals for our wardens and our diplomats who've actually pledged to unlock.
Oh,
Did we lose,
did we lose them?
Billion.
Oh, no, we lost.
Keep us in
suspense.
Oh, we're hanging on your words.
He's still on.
Jonathan? Downloading stuff.
Yeah, Larry.
Man. All right. Okay, so, yeah.
Well, Skype.
Well, we're down here.
The Microsoft network has been having some issues lately, so...
All right, we'll disconnect. We'll talk about it. You've already played it,
yeah,
so you
really
have some experience with this.
Really got a chance to kind of check a little bit about it. Again, yeah, he was saying there are six roles, six races you can kind of combine. The Kickstarter started yesterday, and already it's about halfway to its goal.
Yeah,
a little over halfway there already.
So there's
going to be stretch goals and things like that to kind of...
And that's what he was just talking about.
Just talking about.
But, so... So, like you said, this game's
live
like a
radio.
Sandbox game.
There is a set definition of, like, okay, your job is to take out the Dead King. There's some. It sounded like there's some other bosses.
Right, along the way. But the Dead King is the big boss in the game. And and how you get there varies widely from what I saw in the gameplay.
Yeah, there, again, I really liked how much stuff that he not only put into the content, how much there is, but how well it's written. So you have randomized quests and events that happen on the board, your maps are randomized.
Right.
I'm getting more, I don't know what to say, but it's more open world idea, you know? Like a,
yeah, that's...
Like Skyrim. Where,
but, yeah,
there's
no,
a main thread, but you could, like, go play over side here
quest.
For a while.
And there appear to be not a lot of... I won't call them side... Wow. I won't call them side quests, but there are other things going on until you get to that point where you're ready to go against the Dead King. You've got to get your power... What? Jonathan?
Not sure what happened.
Okay, we got you back. We're good.
We're back. Rob!
It's all good.
Turn him up a little.
He just had to leave.
Yeah, go get Rob. So, yeah, no, so you were about to say we were talking about stretch goals and your wardens.
Yeah, so... Our wardens and diplomats have actually unlocked six extra roles and races for everybody.
So the entire
game box that we have is going to come with 12 of each roles and races starting out. That means you're going to have 144 different character combinations available to you just right out of the gate before we get any stretch goals.
Yeah, so again, the Kickstarter launched yesterday with the roles and everything, so... They fall down under a few different types of play styles. Could you just to kind of explain what those kind of are?
Yeah, certainly. So we have the normal play style where it's just the standard rules right out of the book. But we also have play style to suit groups that want to get through the content faster. So we call that double up. That's basically where you're getting double the rewards and generally just kind of kicking that game into high gear. Then we have what's called the Marathon game, and this is more like your typical D&D campaign, and this can sometimes draw out for 4 to 5 hours if you wanted to. In fact, we've actually played some epic games that we've just wanted to get through all of the content, and we've been playing for, you know, 6-7 hours at a time, and so that's kind of the Marathon game. We also feature a single player variant where we could have just a single player, playing the roles, trying to beat the board. And, that's very popular.
Yeah. I thought having that was a really, really great option.
You know, when we had some connection issues, there was brought up, minor bosses, and we suspected there were minor bosses. Are there minor bosses?
Yes, indeed. In fact, there are 9 total minor bosses to help you get powerful enough to face the 10th boss. We've had games where people enjoy going up against the bosses and do that first. We've had games where people want to skip the bosses and just do the quests. We've had games that do a mixture of both. So it really is, you pick and choose your own adventure every time you play the game.
Okay, so now you'd mentioned that the marathon type game can go 8 or 9 hours on this particular game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
what is the average play time for this game?
Average play time, we typically finish games within 1.5 to 2 hours.
All right.
And that's when we're playing double up and getting through the content fast.
Right. So effectively, this game can be anything from a short hour and a half game to we're gonna really stretch this out and go for broke and play a marathon game and do 8 or 9 hours of stretch gaming on it.
Yeah.
So,
you know, sure, you know, it's cooperative, but everyone loves that. But, hey, can you, is there any kind of system in place to go, hey, yeah, you were the best at being cooperative. You were the best in this game.
That's a good question. We actually haven't included rules for it, but there is a system kind of in place already. Because it is kind of a hero building game, the whole point of the game is to get as powerful as you can. And at the end of the game, you could probably count up all your points to see who's the one hero who got maxed out the most. So that's definitely... In fact, I actually had rules written into the rulebook for that, and then took them out because I wanted to focus more on the cooperative play, but that's definitely something that we could add. I will say this, if you have one person who just, like, loves being, you know, one of those individuals. Can we swear on your show?
I don't know. Yeah. Oh, God, okay. Please.
I was going to say, like, you know, an asshat. But, you know, if you have somebody who really wants to be a jerk, and, you know, you can actually play the dead king against everybody else. So there are mechanics in the game set up for a one versus all as well.
That seems really challenging. To play the dead king?
No, because he's going to. He's already got the advantage. He's the boss in the game.
Yeah, he started out with a little bit of extra.
Yeah, okay, now the other thing is.
You've got to be paying attention.
So I was going to ask you, are there ways to screw the asshat if you're playing cooperative and you've got that one guy on the.
As in the game, you kind of make decisions as a group, and I got to play together. So again, at the end of the day, it comes down to, like, okay, we're going to make a decision as a group. You don't kind of.
Yeah, but there's always that one. You always play with that one guy who does not want do what the group wants to do. Normally,
right, exactly,
as the DM,
yeah.
We just kill him off. But is there a way in the game you can kind of screw the one guy who's not playing well with the rest of the group?
Yeah.
All right. See,
just leave him to die.
You're at the board.
You're like, go hit him first. You know, we'll let you take the loot. but okay, so with the Kickstarter and everything launched yesterday. Has got a great start. Again, I'm very lucky. I'm very happy to be a backer on it. What are you kind of looking forward or looking to in the month coming forward when it comes to kind of talking more about the game, getting more information into people's hands?
Definitely. And thank you for backing it, and thank you to everybody who's watching, who's backed it or who's interested in it. You know, my wife and I, when we launched the campaign, we didn't realize how you know, quickly we would go from 0 to 50% in 24 hours. But to answer your question, we're just kind of we're hoping to kind of one up the campaign. We've got a ton of stretch goals that I hope that we can release, get them out into every game. From day one, I was not a strong proponent of charging extra for those. I wanted those just to be included in the box when we got to specific pledge levels. So. We wanted to be able to give everything that I've developed in this game box. And for instance, future expansions won't contain as many of these heroes. We're really giving out all the heroes in Valley of the Dead King, and then in future runs we're likely going to limit it to 8 or 10 rolls based on kind of how the system is set up for that particular game.
Another thing, again, we kind of talked about in our last interview, how the game kind of came to be with, you know, the Boar and your Cartographer's Guild competition. And again, I thought it was really cool. Okay.
Yeah, you do have to repeat how this game came to be, because the story is amazing.
Yeah, it was crazy. So I was part of the Cartographer's Guild, and it's an awesome group, awesome community. I was definitely, like, could you tell, like, I'm so geeky? I mean, I played, I role-played pretty much 3 days out of the week when I was in high school. So I'm a big map maker. I enjoy making, like, dungeon maps and all that kind of good stuff. So I was part of this group, and they have monthly contests. And 1 month I ended up basically just kind of going into the contest thinking, you know, boy, this would be a lot of fun. So the contest was to design a map that would be used in a game. And so I ended up drawing the basically the original version of what, you know, Hexplorer evolved into. And I ended up winning with another person, tying for the win that month. And people were just so excited about it. They said, "No, this map could be in a game." And I was like, "Holy sh! Nike, yeah. This could be in a game."
So, you can say shit. You really can say shit on our.
Yeah, account. Yeah. You know, it's, can you tell I have three kids?
Fair enough.
I almost said poop.
Afterwards, it's like,
yeah,
I get it all out.
Yeah.
And it just kind of evolved from there. You know, I kind of decided real early after that, you know, I really wanted to build a game around it. You know, being that I enjoyed role playing so much, a lot of my friends and I don't get a chance to actually sit down and role play anymore. So it's just a great alternative to you know, sitting down and spending all that time you know, planning for a campaign. Yeah. Now you don't have to.
Is this your first game?
Yeah. Yeah.
It seems pretty ambitious out of the box.
Yeah, it is a very polished game.
He's been working on this for some time. You can tell, because, I mean, you go to the Kickstarter, there's a lot of in-depth, you know, kind of explanation. Again, everything is very well fleshed out. I was very taken aback by how, like, you look at everything, and you're like, oh, this looks cool, I want to do this. Oh, this looks cool, I want to do this. You have a hard time making a decision, like, oh, I'm looking at all these roles, I want to play all of these. Or you're looking at the question, like, oh, no, I want to go do this, but we got to go over here.
And again, so Travis is right. The Kickstarter is fleshed out, and we will have a link to the Kickstarter on our website as well. You get a lot of, that's the nice thing about your Kickstarter. You get a lot of information about the game on the Kickstarter right away. I mean, it's really one of the better organized Kickstarters I've seen.
So, thank you. Yeah, that was one thing I wanted to do right out of the gate, because I am a first-time project creator. You know, the way I figure it, people are, you know, they're investing in an idea, and how are you going to invest in something you can't fully explain? So right out of the gate, I really wanted to make sure that we were as transparent and showed, like, everything. We got the rule book online, and, I definitely one of those guys that, you know, we just want to make sure that we do it right, so...
Yeah, no, you definitely hit it on everywhere on the Kickstarter. I mean, it really, it's got enough information, it's got enough about the game that you get a really good feel for the game. Again, we've had the luxury of seeing the game up close and personal. But
you know, a funny thing. Sorry to interrupt you. I was just editing the page today, and I actually ran into the upper character limit for the description box. Like, I couldn't put in, like, extra data that I was trying to add. So I think I'm gonna have to go back through and make images out of a lot of my text blocks so that I can actually put more stuff on the page.
Who is your artist? Who's the king creator?
So his name is Will Crawford. He's a great friend of mine. We actually worked together on a different project many moons ago. He's kind of the head honcho for all of the character art that we've been seeing with Hexplorer, except for the Cryovern. That would be the ice spirit dragon thing that we have. That was a painting that was done by a good friend of mine, Elizabeth. We have two artists on the team, and I just couldn't be happier with both of them. They just did a stellar job.
Yeah, that's an understatement. You know, and that's also part of what attracted us to the game when you were demoing it. The artwork, everything is just spot on.
It's cool.
Yeah, really, it's cool.
There's something to be said about, like, cool artwork that kind of draws you in. You're like, oh,
and it
man,
did. It
those,
did.
Those monsters look pretty BA.
Yeah,
like,
and the, and the
that.
Characters,
yeah.
Everything looked spectacular. And that was a big part of what drew us in to look at
sometimes,
in the first
yeah,
place.
Yeah, sometimes you need that initial, like, that eye catcher, you know?
Yeah.
I think
thanks, guys.
The Dead King really does it.
Yeah, it really does. It really does.
It definitely sells the brand for sure, and we're hoping for each of the roles that get released, we're actually going to be doing pictures for each of them. So, you know, we have weekly meetings, and we talk and discuss, and The big thing is timing. We want to make sure that we're prudent in delivering the final product. So if we need to bring on extra artists to do so, then so be it. But I definitely feel that we're excited about where it's going for sure.
So when you say we, how many are we?
Yeah, so it's me, and then I have a handful of friends who have been kind enough to support me in offering advice. We play test a lot. We bounce ideas around each other. There's about six of us, but I'm pretty much the lead. I put all the time in, so.
And you're all a local group. Itself.
Yeah. We get to get together maybe once or twice a month, and then whenever we can, we can go to the local game shops, and like Nathan and Beck, they've been hitting it hard, and basically trying to bring Hexplorer to local places. I can't say thanks enough to them. They actually have found so many things that. We're rebalancing, and so that was kind of a nightmare early on with this idea. I generated all of these characters, and without being that I'm a family guy, I only get so much time to devote to testing. But now we have 600 play test hours in, and so that's testament to all the time that we spend going to conventions and all the time we spend talking to people and running the game. So
when your team gets together for these meetings, what's the team's favorite beer?
Favorite beer? Oh, man. It's varied. Spotted Cow, Boston Lager, there's a couple of them out there. I'm kind of a wine snob. I'm kind of a cheap date that way. I can drink a couple glasses and I'm out, so.
Well, I gotta tell you, you might want to try this since you like
malt. Again, yeah, if you like Mad Dog 2020, Malt Duck is just fine. Nice.
Yeah. Probably available in your area.
Probably, it's right. So they actually have wide distribution.
It's getting worse as they go.
I will say this, you guys might have a favorite character to play. We've got a rabble rouser in the game.
And,
His main attack is the teetering haymaker.
Oh no, that is Larry all the way. Holy crap.
Again, there's like a class for every situation. And it's just like you see so many things, and I'm sad I've only gotten to play it once and watch it played a couple times, because I'm really excited to get my hands on it and kind of test different roles and see how they play out.
So I have to do my part of the podcast where we talk about the box contents, and I'm gonna read them out to you because yeah. This is a packed freaking box.
This is a packed box, yes.
Yeah. All right, so we start out with the game box. You get the rule book. You got six dry erase roll cards, one dry erase battle mat, seven dry erase markers, six race. I gotta get into the voice. I'm not doing the voice.
You're not doing the voice.
Six races, 10 bosses, four gameplay and market cards, four map quadrants, six map hex tiles, two circumstances and quest bars. Circumstance deck of 54 cards, quest deck of 54 cards, power up deck of 54 cards, the dead king deck, 14 cards, 19 freaking dice. That it wasn't written like that. One six-sided plus 18 ten-sided and two painted pawns. So in a market where 70-80 bucks is about average for these types of games. You're actually getting a hell of a lot in that box. Looked at a lot of boxes. I like kit. I don't know about you guys, but I'm a huge fan of give me a bunch of crap in the box. You're getting a lot of crap in here. How are you doing it at the 70 buck level?
Well, we're just trying to get the name out there. We decided kind of early on that, if we had to take a small loss to in order to create a following and to create an amazing product, and we would do that. We're doing pretty good. We're hoping that we can unlock the stretch goals. They are some pretty substantial goals that I think we need to certainly spread the word and try and get it out there. But, hey, all those stretch goals, that's all extra stuff that's going to get packed into the game. So
even more stuff in the box.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, again, at the end of the day, I cannot, I think one of the biggest things that drew me to it after I kind of got the initial, like, wow of, okay, this is a cool hero building game. I like a feeling of progression. I like deck building games. I like things that you kind of, you feel a little attached to because you're building something as the game progresses. Again, I cannot stress enough how much is, you can tell this is a labor of love. Again, everything is very well thought out. It's very well written out. There's a lot to it. And again, I think other people have caught on to that too, who have gotten a chance to see what the game is about or gotten to test it. And I'm really hoping as time goes on, more people get a chance to get their hands on this game because it is truly something else. And I'm very impressed, John, by your work, man.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. Thank you.
The two painted pawns are what?
So the pawns, that's really kind of it pained me to put in pawns in the game because I really wanted the plastic miniatures in the game. Don't tell anybody, but that is going to be a stretch goal. So we are hoping that we can unlock those plastic minis instead.
Don't tell anybody on a public radio show.
Look at that.
Don't you bleep that stuff out?
Send it over to WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
Only the first 50 or so episodes.
Sorry, I interrupt you were saying.
So the pawns represent both the playing the players as one unit. So you get one pawn for the entire group, and then you also get one for the bad guy as well.
That one pawn is all of them. That's representative of their zen, that they are all together.
Yeah, we're a unity, right? You know? Yeah. You work as a group, man. This is a team game. None of this Larry running off on his own, doing his own thing. Like, oh, guys.
Being killed by all the zombies.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Larry, you're not going to run off and get killed by all the zombies, all right? You're forced to stick with the group.
And I'm okay with that. It's inevitably the scoundrel every time. Every freaking time, the scoundrel.
Yeah. We have one.
I say that because the scoundrel actually leaves combat to get gold while everybody else is fighting.
So again, on the kind of Kickstarter month going forward, I mean, it sounds like you had a fair amount of pre-planning about getting the campaign together, making sure everything is well written so you can kind of describe to your audience what the game is about. What's the next month looking for you? What's it looking to be like? Is it more interviews, or what are you doing to kind of promote the Kickstarter?
Yeah, that's a great question. We actually have four videos that are going to drop very soon. In fact, I'm getting one tonight from Board to Death TV, so we'll get that one, and we'll put it on the page as soon as we get it. We also have one coming from Lance at The Undead Viking. And a couple more as well. We have a goodie. I'm going to be filming a game that we play through with the guys at Beer and Board Games with Blame Society. So that's going to happen on Saturday. Just kind of trying to do as much as we can to spread the word and, again, try and power up the campaign itself.
Yeah, well, as of tonight, you've got 28 more days to go. When the show drops, you'll have 26 more days to go. So considering you're more than halfway there. And yes, I understand Kickstarter's plateau out. Again, what a great start. I mean, this is only
Thank
your
you.
Second day of the Kickstarter. And to be at this point is really great.
Yeah, we couldn't be more proud, to tell you the truth.
All right, so...
Moment of silence.
Yeah, that was a awkward moment of silence there, guys.
Yeah, way to make it worse.
I know, I'm just gonna point it out to everybody.
Okay, so
we just don't take a breath. That was all good information. We had to
digest it for a moment.
Larry doing his job.
So I like the idea that you got the single player mode. That seems to help, you know, a player really learn the game and be
before
a little,
they bring it to their friends.
Bring it to their friends. I like the aspect of
was
that.
Was that something you initially kind of brought into the game, or is it something that kind of got added on later?
You know, it was actually kind of an add-on later. We got to thinking many times
Gamers
we played two-player games.
Oh, sorry.
Oop, go ahead.
You just made
no,
it.
No,
don't let him.
Don't have friends. Don't let him go. Go ahead, continue.
Oh, okay, okay. So yeah, we play tested several games where it was just two of us, you know, just trying to break the game, and we just did it so much we were like, you know, why don't we just try playing one player with two characters? So then we got into the habit of just playing the game, you know, with two characters, and from there it just kind of organically developed into finding a way to make it work where you could play one player with one hero, and it actually works to try and beat the board. And it's super hard, but we've got some, you know, different changes to the game rules. The mechanics change a little bit to make it a little bit more possible. So it still is a hard game when you're playing just one role, but with those changes, it certainly helps.
I don't know if we mentioned this. So what is the bottom level right now? What's the upper level? Number of players.
Oh, upper level? Seven players.
Seven players. Yeah. So that's quite a range.
You've got a good sized party going at that point.
Was a seven player the one where somebody has to be Dead King?
Yeah, so typically in a seven player game, you definitely break into one player manages combat and is the Dead King. So we have that battle mat that you had mentioned before. That is a vital piece to the game. You use it to basically calculate all of your bad guy data. So generally speaking, only one person handles that during the game. And then when you're playing that seven player game, usually is the person who's playing the Dead King.
Well, but again, like Ryan said, the nice thing is when you can play that one player, you get that chance to run through it once or even twice, and then when you bring it, so very often we have game nights where, you know, you bring whatever your newest game is, and some games are great where you can just sit down and take right into them. Other games take a little bit more. Gaming time, gaming time is precious for most gamers. Like you said, you've got three kids, you know what it's like.
So very often we have game nights.
Wow.
Yep.
You know, whatever you're doing.
Bleeding right through.
I'm just bleeding right through. But so the problem being is gaming time is precious. So if you can know what to play in advance and just go right at it, it's
so
you could randomize it too. I mean, who wouldn't like picking up a pixie necromancer?
Okay, that sounds pretty awesome, actually.
So when somebody gets this game, again, there's a lot of modes, a lot of roles, a lot of rules to kind of take in. Like, how do you expect the average player to kind of approach the game out of the box?
Yeah, so we're gonna have links on the QR codes that will be on the box or on the rulebook that will take folks to actually video tutorials. So those haven't been created yet, but that is my goal, is to get those online because there is a little bit of a learning curve. There are some things that you need to know. That being said, we do have some quick cards in the game that basically go through the game turn sequence, for instance. So you don't have to you don't have to know it. You can just look at the card and be like, oh, well, this happens next. So
you know, those just sort of in general, boy, those video game videos on how to play in that, you know, just real short, man, they make a difference.
To be said for seeing something rather than just reading it and kind of because somebody might interpret something a little different.
We have episodes about interpreting rules. So yeah, no,
we were gifted a game and we did a let's play on it. And apparently we played it completely wrong.
Completely wrong.
Well, just like 70%. Okay. That's it.
But that's where I'm watching somebody play through it. Makes it stone solid on how the rule really
should be played. They tell us, well, you know, I mean, we watched you guys, we realized, well, we got to clean up a few things.
Well, because we play a lot of games that are in development.
There's like three games that we've done that's happened.
Yeah, we play.
So apparently we never play by the rules.
Well, no, it's sometimes, and again, that's where a good manual and possibly videos make a big difference. Videos are nice.
I get a new game now, I search YouTube right away to see if there's a video.
Yeah.
And now a lot of the developers do have those.
Well,
so,
like he said, he's going to put QR codes, which is a freaking brilliant idea.
Yeah.
If I could just, oh, wait a minute. Oh, there's a video on how I'm supposed to play that character. That's freaking awesome.
Yeah. So, again, you've gotten a lot of play hours with your team behind this game and kind of gotten to develop and kind of change things around. Through the development process, is there any, like, specific scenarios you ran into that, like, this really needed to be changed, or any kind of fun stories you kind of ran into?
It's so funny you said that. We actually just found one about a month ago. So, remember I was telling you about the scoundrel?
Yeah.
So, the scoundrel's second ability is backstab, and in backstab, you have to set up for your backstab, so you waste a turn doing that. But in the second turn, you do some massive amount of damage. We introduced a quest for the scoundrel that allows the scoundrel's bonus die to hexplode. So what is a hexploding die? Basically, a hexploding die is when you roll the total on the die. So let's say you're rolling a d10 and you roll a 10, you get to re-roll and add that number onto the top. Okay? So that just basically explodes the damage, and you get to just keep going. Now, what the scoundrel's ability is her ability is based on the level of her rank. So if her rank is, say, level 10, she gets to re-roll anything that's under a 3. Okay? So what happens is if you get a scoundrel up to rank 30, like we did, all of a sudden she's re-rolling 10s. So she does infinite damage.
Oh, man.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a cool system, though. That's really nice.
I've seen this in video game change where the characters just go...
Yeah, no, that's exactly...
It's a very satisfying experience to just blow something up. I'm not gonna lie, exploding is a lot of fun.
Yeah, and another thing that happened, when we found, and we didn't even change this one because we thought it was so cool, but you can change the difficulty in the game up to 6 times. So basically, you can make it as hard or as easy as you want it to be. Once you go up, though, you can't go back down. So you can ramp up that difficulty. So we did that one day, and just before we went to do a quest, and we found that the quest was an invasion. So what is an invasion? It's basically when monsters are attacking a city. And when you are facing invasion, you actually have to fight them at a harder level. So it automatically kicks it up. Now, just the turn before that, we actually kicked up the level of the game by 2. So we were fighting it on, like, almost the hardest level. And when we went into that invasion, we weren't thinking of it, and we went into it. This has been after, an hour and a half playing. And what was the invasion? Spiders. Spiders, the lowest level creature in the game, and they kicked our ass.
I mean, to be fair, spiders are evil, and they should all die. So...
Yes.
You and my kid would agree.
Yeah, but they eat mosquitoes.
No, nice. No, they're just evil.
But nice. Yeah, I thought that was a really, really cool system. I'm glad you mentioned it too. Again, if you're feeling like you're a little kind of overpowered or something, want a little more challenge, again, you can kick it up on the fly during the game.
Now that's
very cool.
That is an interesting concept. So, like you said, you can if you feel like the game is not challenging enough while you're playing it, you up that difficulty level.
So besides monsters becoming harder, what else kind of happens in the game?
So what else happens in the game? You can go to shrines and gain blessings that basically affect the group. The blessings are a permanent, basically a boost to something. You might have a blessing that keeps you alive or a blessing that makes you move faster. You can also go to ruins and... basically tempt fate. Ruins are places of there's some good things that can happen and some bad things that can happen. So you have to roll a d10, and the first 5 are good, and the last 5 are bad. So you might be facing a boss at a harder level that you didn't expect to face, or you might encounter a mythic event, and then all your heroes get really powerful. So,
can you crank it to an 11?
Yes. I think we should do that.
Not with our party. We're just gonna like take one step outside, fall over, and die. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
We need our training wheels first here.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how it goes too, because you know when you're inevitably comes up in conversation in games. Should we make it harder? But then we all look back at one another and we're like, well, we gotta face the dead king harder. Like we can take these spiders any day, but when we're given the dead king like 500 more health, I don't know about that.
That was my question. Like when you rank up the difficulty, does then the dead king become more difficult to take out, or does he become? Because he's also going out around doing damage to stuff.
Yeah, he takes over cities. Again, he kind of affects the world and things like that too. What you can and can't do,
like, right?
Like cleaning Sodom, there's no looking back.
Right.
But, yeah.
So again, what's going to happen is that's going to restrict your path to level up your characters to take on the dead king at the end. So you want to try to keep him in check while you're doing these other things.
Right, yep.
But you don't want to be bored, so I can see you could do that. Yeah, let's ramp it up. We're doing really well.
Yeah! I can see that ending bad.
The game was done.
So, again, when thinking about this game, I think about it a couple ways. I think this is a good game for people who like role-playing games but might not have a time to play out a full-fledged campaign. Or it might be people who like board games and might want to try to get into a little more role-playing style aspects. Again, it's much more of a board game than role-playing, but I think it's got that kind of role-playing element to it that kind of introduces you to some of those aspects. Are there any other kind of groups of people who might...
This, but I almost got a feeling like this is a dungeon for the 2000s.
I'm gonna give you that one.
This is definitely a little more elaborate. This is definitely a lot more elaborate than what
dungeon,
I played.
Right.
But this reminded me of the feeling I got when playing HeroQuest as a kid.
Yes, HeroQuest was huge for me too, man.
I really loved playing that game as a kid. And again, nice to have out of the box. You didn't have to think a whole lot or do a lot of external preparation. You could kind of set up and go and get that feeling of exploring and things like that.
So here's my HeroQuest story.
Oh boy.
I bought 7 copies and like wrote my own thing to like move between the different boards.
Awesome.
That's pretty good.
Am I the only one who thinks this is awesome?
No. I'm wrong. It's awesome.
A giant dungeon dome.
Well,
you know, the stairs went to another board.
Yeah.
Then, you know.
Right.
It's like Diablo, the board game.
That's awesome.
So now that's something we haven't talked about yet. So this particular game. So we like to talk about games to bring people into gaming. So this I can see this one being a good one for people who don't normally do fantasy adventure gaming or D&D style gaming.
Also hits the very short list of cooperative.
Yeah, it's definitely a portal for sure.
Right, a good portal game to get people into that. Because, again, because it's got the fixed setup, so you don't have to, you know, roll characters and come up with all that. You have the characters all
there's
pre-created.
Real game mechanics too. There's, there's a map and a, you know, there's,
right. You don't have to have a GM to play the game.
You're gonna want somebody who knows the game decently, obviously. But if you're gonna be bringing people into it, you're not only gonna be managing the game board, but again, you're probably gonna be helping them out,
right?
Too. So
get used to it.
But again, the good thing
but
is
a good one for that.
There's a single player mode. You can practice all you want before you bring it to your friends, and I think that's gonna be great.
Yeah. Again, a good portal game to get people into this kind of gaming.
A gateway drug, if you will.
Yeah, well, we're good with gateway
drugs.
Not like we don't know a thing or two about gateway drugs.
Or Elven wine.
Elven
wine.
Yeah, I'm just going to tell right now.
Elven wine.
Don't go with the Elven wine. Do not go with the Elven wine.
Are we
going
to drink that?
Yeah, you're going to
drink the Elven wine.
The rest of us aren't. I didn't think
so,
it was too bad. You gave it a thumbs up. I did not.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Is there anything else you'd like to kind of mention about the game, about the Kickstarter itself? Again, we'll kind of talk about making sure people have the links and everything, but is there any other kind of last things you kind of want to mention about Hexplore It?
No, I guess I would just take the last couple seconds here to just say thank you to everybody who is enthusiastic about the project, and thank you for taking the time to have me on your show. This is awesome. I had a lot of fun. So,
I have a quick curious question. We met you at GameWorldCon. Are you out of the Madison area?
I'm actually in Oshkosh.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So again, Wisconsin's got all the best gaming. Yeah.
Again,
it does. It really does.
It's a cradle of tradition from the 70s.
Wisconsin is the cradle of this kind of gaming. But
it's because we all have to be inside all the time.
That probably has a lot to do with it. So,
Denise says it's because we drink all the time.
Well, that could be too.
Liquid inspiration.
Yeah. So, again, the gaming... You've just started this Kickstarter, so for our audience who's watching us live right now, this has just started. You've got time to get in on this, but don't wait too long.
Again, at the end of the day, like, definitely take some time, read through what he's got on the Kickstarter.
Yeah.
There's a ton of information. Get a good idea of what the game is. And at the end of the day, it's a beautiful game. It truly is something different.
I've played a ton of games,
and something really about this game really struck me, and I think it's very well done.
Yeah.
The classes and the game is well thought out, and I think there's a lot of potential and replayability to it.
And that's the other thing. There's a lot of replayability, which a lot of the adventure kind of games, they get stale very quickly. There are so many combinations on this, and by the sounds of it, you're going to be adding even more combinations to this.
Speaking of adventures, you already have your more bulk publisher lined up.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. Yep. Good. Something tells me with this game, you're going to need it. We will have links to their Kickstarter on our website. We will have links to their website on our website.
For anybody who is listening in, audio only, what's the website for Hexplore It?
Yeah, so the website is www.hexploreit, hexploreit.com.
Right, and if you're on Kickstarter, just search for Hexplore It, and that's two words, Hexplore being one, It being the second. If you do a search on that, it'll take you right to their Kickstarter. Definitely check out their Kickstarter.
Link below the podcast.
Yeah, one of the better ones I've seen. It's really, really good. Yeah.
Again, there's already a ton of information, and he's going to make more videos or showing videos of people playing. Sounds like there's going to be a lot of information over the coming month as the campaign goes on. So very excited to kind of check out everything that's there. Because, again, I've gotten to see about like a quarter of the game already. So it's just like, I want more, man. I want more.
All right.
Yeah, you got all kinds of skin in the game, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I'm excited.
He's already a backer. He's really got skin in the game already.
I'm excited for it, man.
Now, wait. Did you go with the level with the print?
I went for one of the race pledges.
I thought about the 8x10 dead.
Those
game.
Are some cool.
Yeah, games. Those are really good. Okay, wait a minute, Justin. I hear kids in the background. Are your kids there?
Yeah, my kids just got home, yep.
Hi, kids!
You guys want to say hi?
Hi!
Hi!
Okay. We had two in karate, and one was at the cello class.
Ah, the joys.
Again, we'll have links to the Kickstarter and your website on our Facebook and our webpage. Again, I cannot stress this enough. Definitely check this game out. Don't sleep on this one, guys.
All right, Rob, why don't you take us out?
As always, links are below the podcast. On YouTube, you can check us out at www.youtube.com/guysgamesandbeer. We are on every podcast aggregator on Earth. If there's one that you know of that we're not on, let me know and I'll get us on there. But I can't imagine there is one. If you love the podcast and want to visit our website, you can go to www.facebook.guysgamesandbeer.net. You won't love us anymore. And Facebook, www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer, where there is free game Fridays. We just gave away a game
today. You gave away a game today. You gave away a good game
and
today.
There's already a pre-scheduled one for Friday that's actually good as well. I'm kind of trying to give away some good ones every once in a while.
I'm not.
It's just insulting.
I'm giving away crappy games.
Poor guy, who was it who said he finally got one? I'm like, oh, John, no.
Hey, not every game that we give away is brilliant. We give away a lot of good games, though. So, on Twitter,
@guysgamesbeer.
No, and on Twitter.
Yes,
at Guys Games Beer. There are also free game giveaways there. You gave away a couple last week.
Yeah, I did, and I'm going to give away another one tomorrow. So if you are watching the podcast right now, again,
live,
there will be one on the Twitter feed tomorrow. Maybe even a couple. We'll see how I feel tomorrow.
As always, this podcast is recorded live on Facebook, www.facebook.com/guysgamesbeer. Can you tell we're selling that one lately?
Yeah.
We will be at the Midwest Gaming Classic coming up now next month.
We are going to be doing a big Midwest Gaming Classic show on the 21st. We will broadcast live here from the 21st. We've got some special guests coming in. We'll talk about that more. But we will also be, that'll come out on the 24th.
Yes.
So you'll have time to still get your tickets for Midwest Gaming Classic.
I got my VIGs.
By the way, we are the VIGs, by the way. We are going to be having a very special fun. We'll talk about that on the 21st. Make sure to catch us then.
The pre-show extravaganza.
Yes.
Yeah, we're all over the place at MGC this year. So catch that. All right. Thank you very much for watching, Guys, Games, and Beer. We'll catch you next week.